Greetings, geeks. Welcome to episode 834 of Geeks in Space. I'm Rob Commander Taco Maldon, and joining me today in pretend low Earth orbit, I have Rob Roseboom.
Hello.
Chris DeBona.
Hi.
Gentlemen, are we excited? Are we fun? Are we happy?
I'm not excited. I guess I'm fun. It for a very specific type of fun.
I'm moderately excited.
Moderately excited.
Yeah, I'm moderately excited. I don't know how fun I am nowadays, you know. And what was the last one? Engaged? Not engaged. No, I think I have time engaged. Blindness on this question.
Yeah, oh, you have time blindness. Yep. That's a thing now.
Yeah.
I don't have to pay attention to clocks.
Yeah. Oh.
Just roll into work whenever I want, you know.
I feel like it's
impossible for me to grasp the concept of time.
Hey, that's fair. Time is complicated.
Sure.
I heard, well, time is the conqueror.
Yeah. The thing that kills me about these disorders, syndromes, things, you know, when they say it's X blindness or X cancer, and I'm like, you know, people who are really blind and who have real cancer, they're kind of pissed at you for trying to pick up on their actual real problems, you know?
But I don't.
So why don't you shove it up your ass? Oh, what's that?
I don't want to wear a watch.
You don't want to wear a watch. Well, that sounds like you're embracing your disorder. You're embracing your disorder. You're a time blindness activist.
It has been many decades since I wore a watch, and yet I still somehow figure out what time it is.
Yeah.
Do you like look almost at the sun and like measure the angle?
Yeah.
Well, I do have sundials all over the
place.
He only walks around with pigeons with those magnet brains, you know, and they say, okay, well, the pigeon's facing north.
Right.
And it's casting this kind of shadow.
Yeah, I'm not into giving money to Big Compass. I just use pigeons. To help determine what direction I'm going.
Yeah.
So we should have all switched.
I get my time the old-fashioned way.
Yeah.
We should have all switched to Swatch Sticks. Time. Do you remember Swatch Time?
Sure.
That story was actually making the rounds
Metric
recently.
Time, yeah. Really?
Yeah, I was thinking about that one because that was from like the 90s when like they were like, we should just have 1,000 units of time, I think it was, during the day. Mm-hmm. And it's Swatch Time. That makes perfect sense, doesn't it? No. Well, let's see, gents. What do we got on our fun list today? Apple renewed For All Mankind, so they're going to get another season, and they're going to get a spinoff called Star City, which I assume is going to be misnamed because they're going to be on the moon or on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
I assume that's where they're going. They're not going to put a city on a star.
No, that would be problematic.
Yeah. I mean, the sun flares alone. I don't know how you'd like handle that.
Yeah, we're gonna need to make a new SPF. We're gonna live on a star.
SPF. You're gonna need 6 foot of lead.
SPF 6 million. Yeah. You're gonna need a pretty thick coating.
For a minute, I thought you were talking about disgraced FTX head Sam Bankman-Fried. I'm like, we're gonna need another Sam Bankman-Fried.
Yeah, we're making them now.
Yeah.
We're mass producer. We got an assembly line. It's called Y Combinator.
Oh my God. So, you know, I have mixed feelings about Y Combinator, you know, because I have a lot of friends who've worked there and who are working there. And they always invite me to their demo days, but I just can't do it. 500 startups each given like 2 minutes each over 3 days. I'm like, dude, time out. And like you can predict like some of them every season. You're like, oh, that's the, you know, diversity and recruiting one. That's this year it was like all AI nonsense, you know. Yeah. And for all of them, there's probably one or two that are going to do fine, you know. But it's like, that's a lot to sit through.
When I was in DC, I went to a number of those sorts of things.
Yeah. Oh my God, in DC, that'd be the worst.
Yeah, because they also like over there, there's just a lot of government connection stuff, and most of it just makes me want to pull my hair out. And just like, this is nonsense. Just go build it in your basement with some friends.
Yeah.
And like, don't ask me for anything until you have something.
Yeah, for sure.
But I might have biases based on my own life experiences.
You clearly have bias.
That's true.
You know, you have bias blindness is what you have.
Yeah, I have bias blindness.
I think you might have bias cancer, you know.
So. I actually have bias, which
you have bias that, bias?
Yeah, yeah. I'm biased against biases.
Well, how do you feel about Len bias, you know?
Len, what bias?
He was a football player of note who took a lot of cocaine and died.
Oh, well, I mean.
So do you have Len bias? Are you know,
mean, I feel bad
or do you have Len bias blindness?
That I could be biased against Len bias blindness.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rob sounds like is biased against taking the wrong amounts of cocaine.
Yeah.
I think it was cocaine. It was like cocaine or something else. You know?
For me, the wrong amount of cocaine is one cocaine.
Yeah.
One unit of cocaine.
One unit. I don't know.
Yeah, it was cocaine. Yeah.
I think cocaine is technically measured in bumps. Yeah.
I think you've got a bump bias.
Yeah, I got a bump bias. Oh, dear God. All right. Well, the next one on the list actually kind of tickled my funny bone. So Reddit has announced as part of their IPO or around their IPO that they were going to be licensing all of their comments and content to the oligarchs who want to use it to train their AI models.
Their lums. Yeah.
Their lums. And so somebody made a plugin which will go in and replace the text of all your posts. And the comment that I thought was the best was something to the effect of, it sure would be terrible if all of your comments were just filled with random copyrighted text. We don't suggest that you...
We wouldn't suggest you do this.
Do that. Like, that would be really bad because all of Reddit's very valuable... property that the community created.
I get why they would want to do this, but I have to tell you, if they trained this on just malicious compliance alone, I would love to see what sort of model they come up with.
Yeah.
And what it says to you after you put in the text. You know, see exactly how intelligent it is.
Well, do you remember there was the okay, there it is. There was an Onion article. The Onion, which by the way, was recently sold to Global Tetra something, which was like a joke company in this old century.
Yep.
So I just thought that was great. And then their headline right now is give us $1. The internet disappears forever. I admit I gave him a buck. I'm like, all right, here you go. Have a buck. I love you guys. Click the above image to give us the effing money. Yeah, but there was an Onion story about Wikipedia that was just hilarious. Wikipedia, The Onion. Wikipedia. Maybe it was this one. Wikipedia. No, it's not Wikipedia turns 20. It's... Wikipedia. This is the classic, right? Are you ready for this? Yeah. Bam.
That's great. The title for our listening audience is that Wikipedia celebrates 750 years of American independence.
This is 2006. They published this. I mean, just to give you an idea of their long commitment to satire.
Anniversary of American independence on July 25th.
Yeah.
You used to be able to get print copies of The Onion in downtown Ann Arbor. I always thought that was
I remember getting them. Yeah, I would, you know, when you were near a college town in the Midwest, especially, you just walk by, oh, there's an Onion. Check that out.
Pretty cool.
It was great.
Those were
according
times.
To our database, that's 212 years older than the Eiffel Tower, 347 years older than the earliest known woolly mammoth fossil, and a full 493 years older than the microwave.
Right?
None of those were right. You know that, right?
I would hope not. But, you know, I'm not going to look it up because where would I look it up except Wikipedia?
Yeah, right.
Nothing's real anymore, guys.
On July 25th, delegates gathered at Co-America Park. Good times.
Good times.
Yeah.
Well, I love to be a good protest. I'm sure nothing will come of it. And we'll all enjoy our post-apocalyptic future where nothing matters or has meaning. Or
wait, what happened? Did I miss a story?
No, Reddit.
Reddit, that protest.
The AI models that will rise up trained on copyrighted blurbs. But we'll defend ourselves. That's not true. We won't defend ourselves, but the copyright holders will defend themselves using flamethrowing robot dogs.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's great.
It is. The picture alone.
And, and timely, because I just found out yesterday that one of us in the group happens to have, not in this group, but one of us happens to have a flamethrower.
Yeah, but he's been saying that for like 5 years.
I know, but now he's going to give it to another person that we know, supposedly.
Who will definitely use it.
Yes. Although, I guess the idea was to keep it at my house for safekeeping.
Why is your house Switzerland?
Right, but a certain person who lives here doesn't think that's a good idea to have a flamethrower that person would use in our backyard. So.
Is that person Darby or Poppy or Tulip?
No.
Poppy? Tulip?
Sorry, I accidentally mentioned a dog that is no longer with us.
Oh.
Right. It's okay.
It's hard to keep track of.
So if you were going to name this dog, would you name it after your old dog? That seems, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I can't picture your dogs, you know, embracing the flamethrower.
No, this is, I'm not giving it to the flamethrower to a dog. This is an actual person who wanted to use it.
$9,420 for the Therminator.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
Yeah.
I mean, for a robot that has a flamethrower on it.
And it's got the best all-electric. Yeah, it says all-electric, but it must have gas, right? I mean, flamethrower on the market, right? I mean, they shouldn't say all-electric.
Yeah.
Like, mostly electric or propane-fueled electric, you know, like that.
Well, yeah.
Shouldn't they share a fuel source?
It's a flamethrower, not a Tesla cannon.
Yeah, right?
So,
although a Cybertruck is more dangerous.
Than what?
Than a flame-throwing dog. Because
it's true.
Because their pedals don't work.
6,700 pounds of uncontrollable freedom.
I guess it depends on where you are.
Right in front of a fast-moving Tesla.
Okay.
Or like in a
fuel
tunnel.
Fuel tank, not 100% electrical. Thank you very much.
Rip off.
I'm so tired of these. These fly-by-night robot flamethrower constructors. Yeah. You know,
I will not support their uprisings. Unless they win, in which case I, for one, salute our new robot flame-throwing dog masters.
So I admit, I'm still touched to this day at the snow crash relationship between YT and the robot dog. Do you remember this? The cyborg dog? It was so sweet, you know? It's like, you know, she because there's these dogs that are like guards for the various places, and one of them kind of gets hurt, and so she basically, against her better judgment, she takes care of this dog, and he became very fond of her, which I thought was really sweet.
I read that book in 25 years. Does it hold?
Man, the scene where that dog, he's like, YT's in trouble, and he just like bursts out of his like enclosure, charging enclosure, to go save her. It's actually really moving. You know, it's like one of those reasons, like Neal Stephenson, he's still like the GOAT when it comes to creating characters and tying things together. So anyway, but yeah.
And also writing 9,000 page long stories.
That's true. Although his recent books, they really haven't been that long. They've been 300 pages, you know, and like Dodge Fallen, which was hard to read actually, but yeah, they, you know, yeah. So,
well, let's see. Has
Terminator ever, Shock. Yeah.
Has Neil ever written a story about an 18 wheeler from heaven that fights zombies in medieval Europe?
No.
Because apparently that is the premise that Post Malone and Michael Bay are currently developing.
Where is this story? It sounds amazing.
Yeah. Well, it's, you have to.
Is it not linked here?
You have to sort by rising.
Oh, Christ.
But yeah, because.
You always create like new reasons to sort.
I didn't build. Is
Rising's new, isn't it? Isn't it like since the IPO they added that? You know?
I don't even know what it is, but
it is.
It's blank. Every other option is
there. Gone. It is. I found it. Here we go. All right. Post Malone.
Yeah. So it's not just a film, though. It's a complete IP universe that they're creating together.
Superhero trucks. I mean, this is.
It's definitely Michael Bay's wheelhouse.
Well, sure. I mean, he did. Did he do a Transformer?
He did
or
all
two?
The Transformers.
Well, not
He's
all.
Like the I guy. Mean, well, okay.
He did the one with testicles, though, right?
Yeah, well, for sure.
Yeah, he did the
if
testicle.
If you're going to give a Transformer balls, you call Michael Bay.
Yeah, I mean, really, who else are you going to call?
More than
plus some really
superhero trucks,
some really cool slow motion explosions.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, and some incredibly good looking people like
pretty people saying nonsense.
Yeah.
Complete nonsense. Yeah.
So yeah, that's, well, that's
so at what point in the Transformer universe did you say, oh, come on? I mean, was it, did you have to wait for Mark Wahlberg as a genius engineer, or was it early?
It was pretty quick, pretty quickly. Yeah.
So about 5 minutes into the first movie.
The first time Optimus spoke.
But yeah, that brought you back, you know.
The one that really solidified it for me was the one on the moon, or the one that has something to do with
Oh, right. Moon. Dark of the Moon. Sure.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
No.
That movie is a struggle for me because the scene on the moon is so cool looking. And then the entire rest of the movie is just garbage.
Yeah, it was really bad. Yeah.
But I have a
plan. I mean, there's always, in all the Transformers movies, they had some good things.
Sure.
You know, it wasn't bad. It was just.
I just wish that the Transformers looked like Transformers.
Yeah.
Personally, I actually like Bumblebee for the most part.
Bumblebee is a very fine movie.
That was a great movie. Yeah.
And I don't mind the first
Transformers. I don't think Michael Bay directed that, though.
No, he didn't.
No, he did not.
That was probably done by, like, someone good. Movie.
Yeah. So anyway, if this ever gets made, I'm sure we'll definitely be in theaters. Opening night to see
Travis Knight,
an 18-wheeler from heaven that fights zombies in medieval Europe, because it's got all the buttons.
You know, I think Michael Bay, I think I'd like him personally, but some of his movies, you're just like, no, dude, time out. Really?
I feel like he might have had too many bumps.
Ah, no, I don't think he, you know, I think after the power director group was like Golden Globus, or they did like
Canon, right? No, he did like Top Gun. No. Wasn't Michael Bay like
connected? No.
I don't remember.
Yeah, well, I think he wasn't the director of Top Gun, obviously, but
it was Tony Scott. But
yeah, but it was Tony Scott and someone else, right? They would do a lot of work together.
The producers of that, yeah. Brockheimer. It was Brockheimer, and Brockheimer, I think, did. Produced Top Gun and a bunch of those movies, and then Michael Bay came in later on, partnered
with but there was a sort of they did a lot of action movies together, and then one of them died of a cocaine overdose. I don't know.
I thought that was it. Doesn't matter. Let's see. Well, a weird one. DOS 4 has been open sourced, so if you ever wanted to go in and, you know, like tweak around, you know, in 30-year-old, 40-year-old assembly language, is your chance.
Sure.
Maybe not.
I mean, I think what was really neat about this release, though, was I don't know if DOS ever had, did it have a version 4? Because there was an alt version of DOS. I'm getting a little confused. I apologize. Okay.
I started with DOS like 3.2, maybe something like that. 3.1, 3.0.
Yeah, 3.1, 3.2 is where a lot of people got into it.
Used 4. Like, I had a
copy. Yeah, everyone switched over to a different maker. Yeah, jumped
from 3.3 to 5.
Yeah, because 5
was like the good one. Because I just remember 4 as being like, it didn't run with some of my shit.
Yeah.
So I didn't use a lot of DOS.
Yeah, it was funny because, you know, Scott Hanselman, you know. He's an old friend, you know. He worked on this with folks. So good on you, Scott.
Yeah, I like Scott.
Well done.
I hung out with him in New Zealand one time.
Yeah, he's a neat guy.
He's so friendly.
Yeah.
He's kind of too nice. Makes me think that he's probably
got like suspicious.
Yeah, he's got like probably like a box of bodies or something in the backyard. Like, nobody's that nice.
Yeah. Well, also, I think Jeff Wilcox, he's the guy who did the Los Angeles based Linux event. Yeah, I think. I don't remember. Oh no, he was Linux from scratch. That was Jeff Wilcox.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Proto Gen 2, you know. I think he also worked on Gen 2, but yeah.
So the last one world. That I had on the list was DC Comics got accused of having some covers be generated by AI. But the follow-up to that is that the artist who was accused of it, like, they immediately pulled the covers and replaced them with different covers, but then the artist came back and was like, here are my sketches. Like, I didn't AI these, he claims, because I have these sketches. So, I mean, okay.
I mean, those are sketches.
Those are definitely sketches. Now, You know, I like the question is how much of a sketch would you need if you fed it into an AI and said draw this as Shazam? Like if you had the model, like can you draw a stick figure and it works?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what I was doing the other day, is just like drawing stick figures and stuff and making them turn into people.
You know, what's a more interesting story, though? Did you see this story about North Korean animation houses finding their way into?
Yeah, that's a little.
That was really something. Sad. Yeah, let me find that, because that's like right in our wheelhouse.
Yeah, they were outsourcing. They didn't say the show. Was it, it was for Amazon or something? I don't know.
For Invincible? For
Invincible.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Invincible's on the list.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. Basically, people who are working with SEK was then somehow working with North Koreans. It was so weird. But yeah, Invincible was called out specifically. Here's the story.
It always frustrates me.
Yeah. Are you going to be okay?
Well, you know, it's like something that you like. You want to pretend at least in your heart that it's all in the up and up, but like.
That it wasn't made by slave labor.
Slave labor, yeah. You know, I'm still like, I still haven't watched that most recent run of Invincible. It's like, I've got like 4 episodes to watch. I've been meaning to.
Oh, yeah,
I haven't watched it either yet.
Yeah, here we go. Season 3 of Invincible. Ianu, Child of Wonder. Dalian Bloom. Octonauts.
Oh. Watch the heck out of Octonauts.
Yeah, it looks like it was going through Dylan's. You know, pipeline as well, you know, because they're just north of North Korea. So, and the thing is, you know, I'm not assuming these people are actually slave labor, getting paid poorly or anything like that, but it's like, it's North Korea, man.
There's international sanctions at the very least.
Yeah, there's international sanctions. And, you know, the same thing that happened, you know, I guess they shut down Minecraft for Iranian users. So they finally applied ITAR to the Minecraft servers. And people are like, oh, I'm upset. Why can't I play Minecraft? And it's like, you know, this is like for your governments to talk about, you know,
right?
Like Microsoft's just like, because they went through the work and we did too, you know, at SourceForge and then at code.google.com, we worked with the Department of Justice and State to allow people to download software from the code repositories. And Microsoft did the same thing with GitHub. But I mean, it took us 12, 13 months, you know, otherwise personal criminal liability attaches unless you have permission. And it's like, you know, they're not willing to do that for Minecraft. You know, it's just too much work for too little upside, you know? So, yeah.
Yay. All right. That's the zone stuff. Did anybody get any media worth watching?
Nope.
No.
I
have Madam Web.
Oh, thank you. So
good for you.
I'm going to go ahead and try to get through all that.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you're done with Madam Web, you should watch Immaculate. One of the gals from Madam Web is the lead of Immaculate, and that mm-hmm. was the last 20 minutes of Immaculate. Oh my god.
I don't know what Immaculate is.
The horror movie about it's Rosemary's Babies type thing.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so you got like evil nuns.
Yeah, I'm there for that.
You mean nuns?
You mean nuns, Rob?
Sorry for extra adjectiving. No, the last 20 minutes of that movie are bonkers.
Yeah.
Really well done. The other one that I watched that I'll just mention is Please Stand By, which was Dakota Fanning, and she's like an autistic woman who's like obsessed with Star Trek. And the whole story is basically she runs away from her group home in order to drop off her fan fiction script for Star Trek to Paramount Pictures to enter a contest. So it's like a road trip journey.
Oh, wow.
But with like with an autistic woman as the lead.
From 2017?
Yeah, it's an older movie. And I'm not going to tell you it's good or anything. I tend to look at movies that do autism
for reasons.
I was curious about that one. It's not great, but there is a scene towards the end delivered in Klingon, which, you know, good on the folks who learned enough Klingon to do that. Although given who the other actor is in that scene, I imagine that actor knows Klingon.
OK. Okay, maybe I'll check it out.
It isn't like anything great or anything, but if that's the sort of thing that
is it better than Madame Web, though? I mean, really,
it is better than Madame Web.
Didn't it win all the awards?
It won nothing. In fact, if you look it up, it made like $9,000 in theaters. Like it made like the amount of money that is embarrassing to me.
Like they paid the theaters.
Yeah, you know? Like our friends.
We're really sorry.
Come on, just run it another week, please.
One more week.
Yeah, it's the we ran it for one night to for awards eligibility or for like contractual.
Because contractually we had to. Yeah.
It's that kind of movie. Right. You had a hard stop, Chris?
I am. I have to go.
All right, good stuff. Let's say goodbye to Rob Roseboom.
Goodbye.
And to the one and only hard stop in Chris DeBona.
Sorry. Bye.
That was episode 834 of Geeks in Space. I was Rob Commander Taco Malden. We'll see you some other time. Bye-bye.